Coach Bill Hart, and it's my pleasure to take you to Portland, Oregon today, where we're going to meet Nick Shivers. Nick is a 14-year vet. He has had a fair amount of life going on for him over that time, which you will hear about, which I think makes this a very attractive interview. You're going to find, I think, it very interesting about a guy that has closed as many as 365 sales in a year and how he took that team of 11 down to a team of 4 and is driving more bottom line profit than he ever has before. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Nick Shivers.
Well, Nick, welcome, and how is everything today in Portland, Oregon, man?
You know, it's a beautiful sunny day, which we have about 2 months of that.
No doubt. Yeah, that is, so my company, while I'm in Southern California, my company is based in Portland, and I, the very first time I heard the term sunbreak was on the news in Portland. So I do get it, and I also get it's tough to keep your team together and working when the weather's really nice, because they want to be out hiking, cycling, on a lake, something, right?
You know, hey, as long as it's producing business, you know, I'll let it, hey, we like to have fun around here.
Nice, man, nice. Well, look, right out of the blocks, Nick, I want to ask you so that we sort of command the attention of the listener. You know, everybody's busy, everybody's got a lot going on. You were referred to me probably 6 months ago because one of my fellow coaches, his wife, works for your team, and she said, oh, you know, at some point you've got to interview Nick because he has got such a cool thing going on up here. So it's actually taken us 6 months to get to this point, almost 7 now. But if we were talking to, you know, 8,000 agents across the country, as we're genuinely doing, they're going to want to hear, just like you would want to hear, well, tell me about the guy's volume. You know, what kind of production is he doing? So could you just take us back a couple of years, like give us a little snapshot of 2011, 2012, and 2013?
Yes. So 2011, we did $57 million with 248 units.
Wow.
2012, we did $73 million for 365 units. Oh. And then last year, we did $82 million, but we did less units. We did 318 units.
Mm. So what? First of all, let me just react to the phenomenal volume, right, before I ask specific questions. Those are incredible numbers, man. So just first and foremost, congratulations on what you're doing, Nick. It's big.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, man. So, but it's not the first time I've heard this story, right, where I've been doing this almost 20 years, where somebody tells me about, you know, volume increase, but the numbers decreased. So maybe some of that's appreciation. Maybe some of that is you focusing in a higher-end market. Tell me what happened there last year.
Well, what happened was at one point in time, we were about 90% distressed properties, bank-owned, short sale. And then last year, that dropped down to about 40%. And so we did about 60% equity sellers without our bank-owned side. And so we dropped off a little bit there. And I really believe that in 2013, my team actually, we got majorly off track.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the human race, right? Well, I mean, as a coach, you know, I see it all the time, right? It's easy to have happen, and so, you know, I don't know if you want to expand on that, if there's a lesson there, but, you know, life happens. Stuff gets in the way. Sometimes you can get so big that, you know, you lose. It's hard to keep your arms around culture and consistent systems and so forth. So is that some of what you experienced last year?
Yeah. I believe, because this is a very interesting call, because you've caught me when I have totally rehauled my whole organization effective March of 2014.
Wow.
Basically, I have 3 people on my team now that was on my team in 2013.
Wow.
The biggest thing that I would say with that type of production, you have to be real careful about inspecting what you expect. Mm-hmm. I basically kind of stepped a little bit out of my business last year, and I didn't inspect anything.
Yeah.
I had expectations, but I didn't inspect anything. And I allowed culture as well as expenses to get crazy when all we were focusing on was volume, meaning, oh, hey, we're hitting 100 million, we're hitting 100 million.
Sure.
And the reality, none of that matters if you're hitting 100 million, you're not making any money.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you, man. That's some really good wisdom there. And there's some people that are listening to you right now that are, you know, they're driving in their car, they're on some kind of an exercise device in a gym right now, they're out for a walk, they're running, and they're listening and they're going, oh yeah, sing it, brother. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, in this business, it's a very interesting thing. It's changed a lot over the years, but in my 25 years or so in the business, you know, so often, Nick, the allure for the competitive person in this business is to be up on stage, getting the trophy, getting the recognition, which is generally all top line,
mm-hmm.
right? Very seldom are we getting awards for what's hitting your bank account, how much money you're saving, right? If Dave Ramsey were giving out awards, it'd be, Nick, that's awesome. You're driving a 5-year-old car. Dude, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You put 60 grand in the bank, right?
Right.
But that's
yeah.
not what's recognized.
No, and I had this conversation last year at a thing called Mega Camp, and I'm like,
yeah.
you know what, we need to, because I was looking at my numbers going, oh my gosh, I made more money when I did 40 million than I did when I did 82 million.
Yeah.
I go, this is ridiculous, and I knew a lot of the same guys that were doing that type of production, and our nets were not good.
Oh, okay.
And we were like, we need to, the biggest award should be your net,
totally.
Not the volume.
Totally. Yeah, man, couldn't agree more. You know, again, as a coach, that's the place where I spend my time is with clients, not on the top line, but on the bottom line. You know, how much
exactly.
of that money are you netting? How much of that are you saving? How much of your overhead are you trimming? What's your ROI on that investment, right? So it sounds like you've sort of gone through that process. Tell us a little bit, because people are going to, they're going to learn from you and your and your pain. You know, it's like my grandfather years ago, it told me he used to box with Jerry Quarry in the, whatever that would have been, like the 30s or something. And his nose was all, you know, spread across his face, right? And I said,
sure.
tell me about that. And he said, well, that was when I was learning to box, and my trainer was telling me, you know, you want to have your left hand up and protect your face. He said, I didn't pay any attention until the first time I got hit in the nose, and it hurt like hell, and I saw stars, and it was like, coach, could you show me that again? So, you know, you've had your nose popped. Tell us what the lessons are that you learned, and what are you doing differently this year?
Well, yeah, 2013, more so late 2013, early 2014 was
mm-hmm.
terrible. My first part of 2014 for the first quarter, I made zero. And we did, you know, we did about 15 million in production.
Mm.
And it was staggering to me. But my background, I am not a systems, I am not a numbers guy. I don't like it. I am a sales guy. I really am a sales guy. But I had built a pretty decent little organization, but I let it get away. I let the culture get away. I let other people put their ideas, which was not bad if they would have been the ideas that I had set for the company, but it wasn't. And I really allowed someone to run the company that, you know, I didn't have a clue. And guess who doesn't have a clue? Me, because the buck stops here. And
sure.
there was no bucks to be stopped. So I basically trimmed my company by about 75%.
Wow.
I kept basically three people in my organization that was there before.
Mm-hmm.
Some purposely, those three I picked. There was a couple other I picked, but decided not to go because of the way the company had kind of ran itself into the ground.
Sure.
And slowly but surely, I said, you know what, I know I'm good at sales, and I really got back into the game.
Yeah.
I picked the people that had the same ideas, culture that I had, and I said, okay, hey, let's look at every darn system that we have, get rid of the ones that we don't need. I do believe sometimes, though, that people take this business way and make it way too complicated. It's not that complicated of a business. Try to dumb it down, and that's good for me, because one of my best friends says, Nick, you're not successful because of your brains. It's because of your motivation. So I went back to that and said, okay, here we go. I need to dumb this down, and we did that, and we're on track. We're right now in 2014 at $30 million, and we went from a net of, for me, the first quarter of almost nothing to we're a profit margin of at 44% last month.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's an enormously encouraging story, I think. And I really appreciate your transparency. You know, I started in this business. How do I describe this without saying the personality? I was working with a very large, very well-known real estate trainer, and I would go to these events and see people up on the stage wearing their best suits, telling their best stories, exaggerating everything, right, from production to lifestyle to efficiencies and all of that. And then later, you know, you really start to see the feet of clay, right, that, oh, wow, that's this person actually is having an affair, and wow, this one is leasing a car that they should never really own, and this one just declared bankruptcy, and holy cow, you know, none of that was real. So as a coach, just having done this for 11 years, I got to tell you, it's really refreshing, Nick, to hear somebody say, hey, you know what? I was hitting home runs. It was great. And then I totally struck out, and it hurt like hell. Didn't really like it.
Right.
But you know what? I learned some lessons, and we're coming back lean and mean, which is what I'm hearing you say, and you've learned some very valuable lessons that'll carry you forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm really proud of you, man. I'm proud of you for doing what you're doing. So describe the new leaner, meaner team to me a little bit. Like, are you still in rainmaker mode? Do you have buyer's agents, transaction coordinators? Tell me a little bit about what you got.
Okay, so basically we went from about a staff in the administrative office of like 10 to a staff of 3 with a virtual assistant that I met through the organization that we helped fund in Nicaragua. Mario is my guy in Nicaragua. So we have 3 admin here and Mario down in Nicaragua that run our admin staff from, you know, so we went from basically 11 down to 4.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And
you
the reality
is, a little bit on the virtue, cause, you know, you just say that like that's a normal thing, right? I want people to hear, you know, Michael Russer, I don't know if you've ever run across him, but he's the guy that created the E-Pro designation for NAR probably, you know, 12, 15 years ago. And he was the first one that I heard talking about VAs, virtual assistants, back in the days, right? And then in many cases, those virtual assistants were down the street, right, or in the next area code. We're in Texas, and you're in, you know, Oregon or whatever. But, dude, Nicaragua. So so talk to me.
Okay. So my organization, for the last, you know, 5 years, we basically try to give about 10% back to an organization called Forward Edge International. And Forward Edge International is basically an organization here in Vancouver, Washington, that I know the guy personally, and he just has a heart for people. Mm-hmm. And I, back in 2006, I started building a resort in Nicaragua, and it failed miserably. So I have a lot of failures, but I never quit. I never quit.
No doubt, brother.
So I met a lady down there that was helping build what was called V Esperanza, a place to take children out of the local garbage dump in Managua, Nicaragua, and take them to a place where they can, you know, be loved on, get educated, know that God loves them. And basically after I visited the garbage dump, I said, you know, I can never go back to my selfish, even though I still do, my selfish of just working for me and strictly my family. And I said, I got to do something. I got to make a difference. And so we've helped support that organization for the last 5 years. And Mario, when I met him 6 years ago, mm-hmm. he was the interpreter down there.
Nice.
And the thing about a country like Nicaragua is you there's people that have incredible talent, have incredible passion, but there's no opportunity. They don't have an opportunity.
Sure.
So I've been talking to him for, you know, the last 6 years, and he was struggling because, you know, he's an incredible person. The orphanage had hired another person full-time for their interpretation for all the missionaries that would come down for short-term mission trips.
Yep.
And he didn't have a lot of work. So I decided that I was going to bring Mario up here to Oregon. So he came and moved in with me for about 2 months this spring. Didn't tell my wife until he got here that that's what was going to happen.
Nice.
But,
and you're still married.
Yeah, and she loves me. She hated me for a day, but she loves me after that.
Very cool.
And then basically we trained him for 2 years. I mean, 2 months.
Wow.
In basically different admin type, top producer type stuff, Craigslist stuff, and learned the system. So he went back to Nicaragua, and now he does a lot of our admin stuff from his house, which is connected with the internet and Skype and all that.
Sure.
And he does a lot of help my admin team.
That is so cool. I got to tell you, I've been doing this a long time.
That's
a first for me. First time I've ever heard that story. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what's cool about that, Nick? People, and you know, you've been to our event, the Building Champions event, the Building Champions Experience. One of the things that we try and really help clients to do, and I want to appeal to, you know, all the listeners to really consider this, you know, in your organization, Keller Williams, Gary Keller calls it your why, right? What's your big why? What's the thing that drives you? We help clients get there by creating a business vision and you know, a life plan. And it sounds like what you've figured out how to do is combine the bigger sense of purpose with the efficiencies of your team and the machine that kind of drives the ability for you to give back, right? It's kind of it's a big wheel, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's very cool, man. That is very, very cool. Had you run that past me, like before you did it, I would have given you a lot of reason for pause. So I'm really glad you didn't talk to me. Because you've now proven that it can be done. And I think that's spectacular. I mean, you know, look, I don't mean to say that I'm not aware of people using virtual assistants in the Philippines and dialers and you know, there's certainly call centers in India and so forth. It's not like this is a brand new concept. But for you to take it to a very personal level like that and bring someone into your home and train him and build the kind of loyalty, by the way, that can only be built through that kind of relationship. I mean, I don't know. You tell me. What kind of loyalty do you think you have there in that relationship?
Well, I think I could sit here and say, you know what? I changed his life. I changed his life for a better. And part of that's true. I mean, he now has an opportunity. But the reality, it was a very incredible. When he left, my whole family cried, and including myself. And it was just when he was leaving, it was. I mean, he helped us probably more than we helped him. Just about how grateful. And here's a quick story. He when he came up here, he was getting $1,000 a month.
Yep.
Okay, and that's what he makes, and that's a great income back in Nicaragua.
I'm sure.
First paycheck. When he lived here, he had it in his car that he was using.
Yep.
Someone broke into his car, and I was right there when he went outside. We were at a restaurant, and he looked, and his $500 was cashed. His computer was there, and he looked at me, and he goes, and I could tell it hurt, but he looked at me, and he goes, wow, they must have needed it more than I did.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And it was just like, because understand that compared to the average, that's like almost, you know, because 30, 60 bucks a month, you know, that was, you know, almost 10 months of salary for somebody back then. But he had a really good perspective, and it really helped me, especially with this difficult time that I went through this first quarter, to set back and go, huh, okay. It was
so
it was
cool,
a powerful thing.
Yeah. That is so cool, Nick. Well, I love it, man. And I love that you figured out a way to connect your purpose, your bigger why, to the way that you actually operate your team, and to have a face on that is enormous. Mm-hmm. A face and a heart. Yeah. That's spectacular.
Sure.
Well, let me get to some basic questions here. So people that are listening to you and your amazing story, because this is I love that I didn't know this ahead of time, right? Because I can react to you just the way that the listener is. But let's come back to the basics. How long have you been in the real estate business?
I've been in, from end to end, 14 years. I took about 2 years off because my wife had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. She's in full remission. So I was kind of out of the business in the boom, 2006, 2007.
Wow.
Did it a little bit, but mostly I had two kids that I was taking care of and a sick wife. But
So
about 14 years.
So you have, now that you've told me that about your bride as well, that you arguably have a larger dose of perspective than most people.
Right? I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So as you look at that 14 years in the business, I'm just trying to think back, 14 years ago, even with the break, 14 years ago, I think we were just starting to see websites for realtors. We were kind of evolving out of, billboards and bus benches and shopping carts, right, and moving into web presence, didn't really know what that meant.
Sure.
Were you running your own team? At what point, I guess, did you step off into this world where you're kind of running your own show?
I basically started that back in 2000. So I when I got back in full time, I basically, it was me and a couple of assistants. And then back in about 2008, I became somehow the short sale guru, and I was getting 30 listings a month, and it just went crazy. So I did everything wrong. I just hired people without, running them through. I just hired people because I needed people, and I did it all wrong. But luckily, it worked out pretty well. So 2008 is when I really started putting the team together.
Well, when you said that someone told you that your gift is relationship and motivation and sales, it's true. Tim Sanders wrote a great book called The Likeability Factor. I don't know if you've read it, but you live
mm-hmm.
it. It's who you are. The thing that Nick Shivers, my guess would be, your whole life has just known is that people are naturally attracted to you. You're that guy. You're a highly likable guy. True?
That's probably true.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the impression I'm getting. Unless people are in the background right now saying, no, he's a slave driver, this guy's terrible, you have no idea. I'm telling you, I'm a pretty good judge of character. I've been around the block a long time. And what I know a little bit about you through our mutual friend is that you're a hugely likable guy, which is a gift, right? God-given gift, that's awesome. Capitalize on that.
Yep.
However, that in and of itself doesn't create a highly successful business.
No.
So the lessons that you've learned that you've already touched on are enormous, but I want to get real granular with you. In real estate, here's what we know. At the end of the day, you can be likable. You can have the greatest sign, an incredible logo, lots of lockboxes, know how to hold an open house, but if you're not generating leads, you don't have any
right.
business. So
bingo.
Where are your leads coming from right now? Where are the majority of your team's leads coming from?
Well, we're really focused on listings, because listings will promote buyers. So we really focus on listings. So radio is huge for us and referrals.
Nice.
So radio referrals, because again, now that the Banco stuff is gone for our, we get radio referrals and another really good source just recently in the last 2 months that we've picked up on is Zillow.
Nice. Well, let's unpack those a little bit. So radio, there's a variety of ways to do that, right? There's advertising that you can buy where mm-hmm. you attach your ad to a personality typically on AM radio. You can do your own show, mm-hmm. or you can be a guest on an existing show. Or
sure.
Is it one of those three or all three?
I've done them all.
Radio?
Yeah, I've done them all. I originally, the very first thing that I did, I was a guest on a business show.
Yep.
Then I went into having my own show, which was an hour long. And then I got connected with a gentleman by the name of Matt Wagner, radio television experts, that kind of gave me a blueprint. And so basically right now I have two small 10-minute weekly radio shows that gives, you know, we call it the Shivers Report. And then I have radio advertising that we have a program called the Guaranteed Sale. And that has worked very, very well for us.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with it. So if your property doesn't sell within X period of time, we'll buy it. Is that the message?
Yep, that is correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the beauty of that, I don't know if you know this, because that concept actually was created before you got into the business. It was originally a Hobbs Herder, you know, who's the advertising agency for the real estate industry, Hobbs Herder mm-hmm. concept years ago, probably 20 years ago, and they also
okay.
did the easy exit listing agreement, right? So it kind of depended on which market you
I have
were
both
dealing
of those.
With, right? Is that right? But they're
yep.
brilliant. I mean, that's one
yep.
of the things, Nick, that I point to. That it's like that in the moving truck that's wrapped, right? All the big Christmas event, right, where you invite everybody into the Disney movie. Those, to me, are kind of the tent poles of the super mega producers, that you can almost predict that top people in every market will have 3, 4, 5 things that they almost all do. And
right.
those are two of them. So the guaranteed sale program, tell me just a little bit about that. How do you appeal, how does that message convey via radio to your Portland market?
No, I think it's just, it really, I mean, because last year, I sold 318 homes, and I
yeah.
think I bought 5.
Yeah, yeah.
I bought 5 properties, and all 5 of those properties, I was like, great, I'll buy them. The guaranteed sale for us is basically that a certain amount of time, and then I'll buy it at 90% of appraised value minus commissions. And
yeah.
that's a no-brainer for me anyway.
Yeah. Totally.
The fact is, it gets people to call to talk about it.
Totally.
And once they see our program, they understand that we know how to get homes sold. So they don't have to do that.
No doubt. Nicely played, man. I love that. So how about referrals? That's radio. Tell me a little bit about referrals. That's sort of it's an obvious thing, and, you know, everybody's been walking around this industry for 30 years with the greatest compliment I can receive on the back of their
sure.
business cards, right, for years.
Yep.
But what do referrals mean to you? How do you focus on that business?
You know, I think that is the biggest thing, that us agents are a bunch of knuckleheads, because the reality is there's every year there's new programs, mm-hmm. new programs. But the easiest program out there
yeah.
is just to talk to your clients, your past clients. But none of us want to do that because
right.
we, you know, I meet with tons of top producers that do a lot more business than I do, and we all say the same thing. Why do we spend so much money on all these other things when the easiest of our business is right in front of us that we never want to deal with? And about halfway through the year last year, basically it was just pretty simple. Once a month, we rated our clients from 10, 9s, and 8s. We basically have at the title company, we have the part of the closing thing that says, on a scale of 1 to 10, would you refer Nick Shivers and his team? And then we rate them in our database, 10, 9s, 8s. Guess what? 10s, I'm going to talk to a lot more than the 8s. The 8s, I'm going to talk a lot more than the 6s. And the fact is, I don't talk to 6s, but I do call and try to find out what we did that could have been better. Now, again, am I doing that at a peak level? No, absolutely not. We're working on that, but I know my 10s. And
yeah, no doubt.
I get a lot of referrals. I mean, last year, without trying, we had about 33% of our business was past
wow.
clients and referrals.
Wow.
I think that could easily go up to 50%, and I think
yep.
right now this year we're
yep.
at 39. Yep. So it's getting better.
Good for you, man. Well, you know as well as I do, one of those surveys that NAR has done every year is, you know, how likely would you be to use the agent that you used last time? Answer, very highly, right? It's very likely that I would do that. But I don't know who they are. I don't know how to read them. I don't have their contact information. Really? So that's what you're saying is. But I love you did one thing differently, and that is you've added sort of that self-selection process through the rating. And I want to make sure that I get that. Are you saying you run those docs through the closing process?
That is correct. So at Title, there is a doc that is given to our clients, and it's one question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely would you be to refer a friend, family member thinking about buying or selling real estate?
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, that's worth the price of admission for this whole interview right now. So let me just be the coach to the listeners right now. If you just heard that like I heard it and you're not doing that, here's the thing. I think Nick would tell you you're leaving money on the table. So implement it. It's a great idea. It's simple. Right? Implement that and then send Nick his, you know, 20%.
Yeah.
or not.
Yeah.
But, dude, that's spectacular. What a great idea to call the people that love you. You know what else that does? And you know this. If you just started calling through your database, you know, start at A and work your way through to Z, you're going to get everybody. And that's going to sway your perception of who those people are and the way they're going to receive you when you call. If all you're calling are your nines and tens, you're calling your fans.
Exactly.
And those calls are all going to go pretty well.
And here is a great caveat, because the fact is, sometimes you yourself have a perception. I just recently closed a transaction.
Yeah.
And it was a rough transaction. And it wasn't our fault. It was the contractor who was finishing the job. It got extended about 10 days. And I thought that the guy was very upset. And I was like, man, he gave us a 10 review saying, man, I really felt that even though this was a really bumpy transaction, that you communicated well. And I was surprised. I didn't think that he was happy.
Yeah.
But he was absolutely happy. I called him back up, and guess what? He's going to have me list another one of his rental properties. It's great.
That's awesome, man.
And I probably in the past would have not wanted to talk, because I believe most agents and mortgage, they're people. They want people to like them. And maybe in the past I would have said, oh, man, he wasn't happy. I guess I might not have called him. But guess what? It's in black and white. It's right there. He thinks he loves us. Maybe the next one says he hates us. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to find out why, so I can implement slowly but surely every day. Let's try to get a little bit better.
Nice.
Try to get a little bit better.
Nice. I love that, man. I love that. That's a great approach, and I think we can all learn from that attitude. So let's go to the third one that you mentioned there, which is Zillow, because look, this is a big one. You know, I remember, I don't know, man, 15 years ago or whatever, 17 years ago, when Realtor.com was the big deal, right? And then
yep.
NAR bought a portion of NAR. And I remember I actually had an office out here in the same building that Stuart, what's his name, who started Realtor.com, resided in. So I remember all that in the beginning, and I remember how it was just, you know, revolutionary. It was changing the industry. And then, you know, it waned a little bit and kind of became part of this was the program, right? This is the landscape of real estate. We market on Realtor.com. You get the gold, the platinum thing, whatever. Then Zillow, Trulia, Yelp, you know, we all start hearing about these things. But I'll tell you this, Nick. My wife and I are both, let's just say, late 50s, early 60s, bought a house a year ago. My wife has got her iPhone out looking on Zillow all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, all the time, right? So it's, for her, it's the connection point to anything having to do with real estate. So with that said, tell me what you've learned about Zillow and how have you made it work for you?
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. I think when everybody wants to know what they think the value of their home is, and they go to Zillow.
Yeah.
And a lot of agents are fighting that. No, that's a big, you know, if it wasn't for us, they would. Well, the fact is it's here to stay.
Right, exactly.
So you can either fight it the whole way or you can kind of join them.
Yep.
So I'm joining them. And it's a great advertising source. I mean, here's the reality. If you sell a lot of properties like we do, And you go online and you have good reviews, people are going to see that because they're viewing that on Zillow and they say, wait, that person sold, 300 homes.
Right.
I might want to talk to them.
No doubt.
So, I have a very big competitive advantage that way because nobody sells as many homes as I do in this area. So I have a huge competitive advantage that way. So I looked at that and said, hey, so in the last 2 months, I really put an emphasis on that, and it's turned out really, really well for us.
So how are
both buyers and sellers.
Nice. Great point. And I get it that both would naturally be going to Zillow. As a matter of fact, with our master's coach group, we had what was her title? I forget. Senior VP, actually, of the mortgage division with Zillow, come and explain to us kind of what they were doing. And that's when they were starting to play around with their new television ads. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Just a few months ago, because they're like, dude, we're going consumer direct. We want to own that space where when somebody wants to know about real estate, one way or another, they're coming to Zillow. So I'm a consumer. If I'm driving around looking for a bicycle shop or a yogurt place or whatever, I'm going to go online and I'm going to look for reviews. So we know reviews matter. How are you building that side of the equation? You and I both know, and many of these consumers know, you sell 300 homes a year, but the reviews matter, right? So how are you addressing that?
Well, I get a little slip back and says, hey, this person loves you. I guess I'm going to call them up and ask them if they're willing to give me a review.
Nice. So you will personally do that?
Yes.
Very cool. Yeah. Man, that's highest and best use time, Nick. I dig that. I love that you're doing that because at the end of the day, that's the new, newspaper. When I got into this business 25 years ago, you'd pull out the newspaper on the weekend, you'd pull out a red pen, and you'd circle the properties, right, that were advertised, and you'd go drive around.
Right.
That's what Zillow is now. And if you are curious about what your property's worth, you're also going to go there and get his estimate. So, it's a new day, and what you're saying is you've just kind of simplified it, which I am seeing, by the way, as a pattern with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let's see, what's the thing that works? Let's create a simple solution about it around that and execute really well.
Right.
I mean, is that kind of your MO?
That's my motto because, Bill, I'm not a systems guy.
Yeah.
So I got to keep it simple. If I can keep it simple, it's going to be hard to beat me because I will work hard.
I like it. Yeah, well, clearly you're willing to do that. Tell me a little bit about your team. Help me understand what the positions are and who does what. And how do you describe your job, by the way?
Well, right now my job, I have two jobs. I am the head listing agent, which I just got back into. And because the other head listing agent went and started his own thing with my ex-CEO that I let go. So I'm the head listing agent and the CEO of the company. I have the four admin, which includes my marketing person, my listing coordinator, my short sale / COO that runs all the books. So that's my four admin. I have rookies galore. You've mentioned your good friend, James.
Yep.
His wife is my veteran on my team.
Nice.
Really, she's been in the business about a year and a half.
And she's a natural, though, right?
And she's killing it. She is killing it.
That's what I hear.
So she has just now recently, in the last couple months, been able to take over some of my listings because I was, for about 2 months, I did 29 and 26 listings back-to-back, and I was a little burned out. And I was losing a few deals because I just couldn't handle anymore. So I did a fast track with Lisa, trained her on how to do listings. So she's now taking listings. And then we have four brand new buyer agents. One used to be a waitress. One used to be medical sales. One used to be a pro football coach in Canada. And one was in the business, but he was on his own. So those are my four little rookies. And I just hired a lady that was a principal broker. She's kind of our sales manager. That's a good person to keep the rookies full of knowledge and on the right track.
Yeah, man. So I can hear your smile as you're describing them. What are you looking for? You've been in the business long enough to know what doesn't work. Not that it's that black and white. I don't mean that. But when you're looking for somebody, like one of the rookies that you want to add onto your team, I heard a lot of different backgrounds there, not a lot of common traits. Are there any common threads? Is there anything in particular you're looking for?
Well, I show everybody my our value system, okay? Mm-hmm. And I want them to see what we're about. And our top three is, you know, it's God, family, and then hard work. And fun is in there, too. Nice. So I want them to understand where, and I tell them a little bit about Nicaragua, what we're trying to do there. And then I look at past successes.
Yeah.
And like the medical sales guy, he you know, he's a little bit older than me, but he basically had a reason why he wanted to switch. He was making great money, but he was traveling a lot, and he said, I don't want to travel as much. I love my wife, and I just want to spend more time with her. And but I know how to work.
That's a gift, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I like people that don't have a lot of experience in the real estate industry, because I think a lot of times some people get lazy, and then they buy into, you know, hey, we have a very strict, it's 8 to 10. You are calling. You are lead generating. We are a lead generation team, because I say this isn't about selling real estate. This is about lead generation.
Nice.
And I'm pretty set. I'm a hands-off guy.
Yep.
But the one thing that if I see people screwing around on their 8 to 10 time frame, I get on them. I'm like, hey, and I'm not mean. I'm a motivational leader, not a dictatorial leader.
Sure.
But I motivate them to get their little fannies back in there and start making some phone calls.
Yeah, man. No, I see that. Good for you, bud. I love that. I love your sense of direction. I love the idea of past successes. You know, one of the things that I've learned as a coach is, if somebody comes to me as an adult, as they typically do, I'm going to look for where is it that you had success somewhere else in your life that we can capitalize on, right? So it could have been anything. It could have been academics. It could have been music. It could have been sports. It could be martial arts. It could be the military. Mm-hmm. Or it could be business success. But if we can find it someplace else where they've learned discipline, man, we can use it here. So it sounds like that's what you're doing, and you're looking for a values match. Like, do they have a similar worldview? Can they align with what it is that we're trying to do here, right?
Right. And I haven't always done that. I'm kind of an underdog person. I like the underdog.
Yep.
And sometimes I want it more for people than they want it themselves.
Yeah.
So.
Boy, that's a good lesson, Nick.
It is.
Yeah, that's a good lesson, because at some point, that's, you know, like John Maxwell says, right, be slow to hire and quick to fire.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you want it to be so bad, and it's just not. And if they're not in, you can't be in, because, you know, what I would tell you, Nick, if I coached you, is in those moments when you're taking a step, drag Bob, taking a step, drag Bob, right?
Yep.
It's Bob is indirectly, same end result, though, taking food out of the mouths of your children.
Yeah.
Set Bob free, right?
Yeah.
Go find somebody that's willing to step up.
Exactly.
So let me shift gears a little bit here. Tell me about your database. I'm always fascinated by this question because, you know, this was only probably when Top Producer really started, you know, gaining steam, is I think when people first really started thinking about, oh, yeah, I should really do a better job of not only, you know, closed transactions, but prospective borrowers or buyers, prospective sellers, anybody that I've spoken to, open house, web leads, whatever. I need to, like, aggregate that group and do a better job of communicating with them. So knowing how you have been so honest with me, my guess is you're going to say, I haven't always been perfect at that.
I've been horrible. Absolutely horrible. We have 9,000 people in our database.
9,000.
We had 9,000. We just cut it down to 2,000.
Yep.
And the reality is we just, in the last 2 months, started marketing to those 2,000 people. Mm. The only people that we even, and the only thing we did was we made phone calls. And this will tell you how powerful it is.
Yeah.
Just making those phone calls,
yeah,
we went from, you know, 33 to almost 40% referral business,
yeah,
without doing anything else.
Yeah.
So I've done a terrible job at that, and we still get business by talking to our past clients. And that's all we do, except for the last 2 months we started a new program where we do a video blog out to those 2,000 people.
Nice. Nice. So tell me about that. I'm a big believer in video as well. Tell me about that.
Well, basically, even though they say I have a face for radio, I'm not shy about getting on a blog. And there's an organization that I hired because, again, I'm good. I'm not good at a lot of things, and I know what I'm good at. So
yeah.
I hire to the rest.
Yeah.
And you know, it was in the process for 3 years. Me saying, "Hey, we got to do this," and my CEO is like, "Well, we can do this ourselves, and we can do this ourselves." And another year passed. Well, it never got done. So I'm like,
yeah,
"Forget about it. I'm hiring this company to do this for me." And they handle everything. They say, "Hey, Nick, do the video about with this information. I think this is a great topic. Do you like it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I like it." And then they'll ask me questions. And then I do the little video, and then I send them the video. I send them my database, and they send it, and then they send me back and say, "Nick, out of those 2,000 people, 47 people basically open it up, and here's the 47. Call them."
Nice. Nice. I love that, man. I love that. I got onto video with Gary Vaynerchuk's book, Crush It, a few years ago.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, he absolutely crushed it by doing a vlog, you know, a video vlog.
Yeah.
And so I did the same thing. And I, you know, I think what you have probably found because of your personality is what I found, and that is that people feel like they know you, and it's like you've touched them. It's as though it's a personal meeting. It's the next best thing to that, right?
Right.
So, I mean, the funny thing is, Nick, I interviewed a guy a couple of months ago in Colorado, and all of his marketing is old school, like all of it. He goes to 5,000 homes. It's all postcards and, you know, newsletters, and it's all old school. It totally works for him. But, you know, we would have to look, of course, at what's going to the net because that's very expensive, and what you're doing is relatively inexpensive.
Sure.
Right? When you shoot video yourself, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, spectacular. I love that. And how do you aggregate it? What system are you using physically for the database? How do you manage it?
Well, we just switched. We switched from Salesforce back. We switched from Top Producer to Salesforce back to Top Producer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably a good move, man. I mean, Salesforce, how do you argue with it, right? They own the market share in this space nationally, probably internationally. But Top Producer, man, they came from real estate, and, you know, is it perfect? No. Is it everything that you would want to have? Probably not. But
nope.
I think you've learned what I try and share with clients all the time. I would rather you execute immediately with something that's 80% as good as it could be if you could have built it than to keep telling me, it's like you just said, you know, we can do it ourselves, we can do it ourselves. Yeah, but you know what? We haven't.
Yeah, we don't do it.
Let's go pull the trigger, right? All right, man.
Right.
So let me ask you the last question because this is interesting. You're a culture guy. You're very clear on what's important to you and your team and your why. And, you know, there's one key relationship in this business that fascinates me. It's where I spend most of my time is in the mortgage industry. And so I'm always interested in how does that relationship develop, right? You, in 14 years in the business, even with your two-year sabbatical is probably not the correct term, right? Your two-year nightmare, it sounds more like. But in that period of time, you've worked with a lot of different mortgage professionals.
Yes.
What, at this point in time, as we sit here, middle of the year, just past the exact middle of the year, 2014, how would you answer the question, what's most important to you about that lending relationship?
Well, the number one mortgage broker that I can remember is she slept with me. She was my wife.
Thanks for the quick follow-up there.
Yes. but past that, I believe that for me, because we do a lot of business, so we get a lot of mortgage brokers wanting our business.
Yeah.
And you know, hey, let's do this, that, and the other.
Sure.
Number one, there has to be a culture fit.
Yeah.
Number two, I think if someone can bring value, you know, or doing a phenomenal job for my agents, and not just, you know, doing the loans, but some other sort of value. And there was this kid that really showed this to me, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. He sold Cutco knives.
Oh, wow.
His name was Isaac Stegman. And I never wanted Cutco knives, but he came up to me and said, hey, Nick, can I get – I kept seeing him at the mastermind events and stuff like that. And he came to me and he said – you know, he sent me an email. Nick, what's your biggest problem? I sent him back an email. This is my biggest. And he goes, hey, give me 30 minutes of your time down in Texas, and I think I have some solutions for you. He came with a solution to my business. Nothing about Cutco knives.
Right.
He came, and I was like, holy cow. He gave me this solution. And then he goes, was that helpful? And I go, yeah. Because he understood, he was educating himself on what I needed, and then he brought a solution because he was talking to all kinds of great people, like yourself, you know, and then he was able to bring a solution. At the end, he goes, so, Nick, can you do me a favor? And he sold me. And there was no way in the world. I didn't want a Cutco knife.
Sure.
But he had brought value to me, and I'm like, all right, you got my order.
I'm picturing closing gifts. How am I doing?
Yeah, closing
no doubt. Well, I'll tell you this. My son-in-law, who's a physician, when he was going through medical school, was selling Cutco knives. And to this day, as a matter of fact, I have two. One is from him, still have it 20 years later. The other is from somebody you probably know, Michael Mayer.
Yeah.
Michael Mayer wrote The Seven Levels of Communication and, you know, great real estate story. And his is engraved, and it says something like, thanks for spreading the word or whatever, you know. And
yeah,
man. But that's a great story. So at the end of the day, what you're saying is A, culture fit, B, find a way to bring additional value, which if I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think the end result is you become irreplaceable at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
And it had, again, it nothing, the kid was brilliant. I was so impressed. I was just like, holy cow. Yeah, I mean, he was a smart guy. He hung out with smart other realtors that were doing better business than me, and he learned, and he brought a solution to me. So I would just say if you're marketing to real estate agents, talk to other real successful real estate agents, find out what they're doing good, and bring solutions to your real estate partners.
And so that's why for almost 18 years we've done these interviews, because that allows you, right, to tap in to the best of the best, listen to the interview first. So now I'm talking to the mortgage lender that's delivering these. Listen to the interview first. Get fired up about two or three things that really strike you. Then make sure you take that out to the realtors that you want to do business with. And as Nick just said, ask enough questions that you can find out where their itch is, where their pain is, and then hopefully bring them a solution. Nick, you have been a delight, and I am genuinely looking forward to the opportunity to sit down with you and have a beer and hang out. Maybe there's a round of golf in our future, because I do think you have an enormous likability factor, and I just want to hang out with Nick Shivers.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean it, man. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm enormously appreciative of your transparency, of telling us when you were flying high and telling us when it was not working so well. Because honestly, Nick, I think that's where people learn the most valuable lessons, is through truth. So thanks for sharing truth. Thanks for having a heart for giving back and for trying to make a difference with what you do and not having it just be about the money. So, Nick, you're a rock star. People need to reach you for two different reasons. Number one, if they've just got a question for you, and I'm going to appeal to them to keep it short, and maybe you would prefer it as an email because you're a busy guy, how should they reach you? And then number two, of course, the important one is if they have a referral for you, what would be the best way that you would have them contact you or your team?
You know, you can always email me directly. Now, I'm not much of an email guy because I have dyslexia. I'm dyslexic, so it takes me 10 minutes to write a sentence. But I definitely will get on the phone with you. It's Nick, N-I-C-K, at West One Pro. That's West1ONEPro.com. Or you can always call me at my office here at 503-594-0805.
Sweet, sweet. Nick Shivers, dude, you're a stud. I'm really proud of what you've done. I'm excited to see what you do. Keep doing what you're doing to make a difference, and thanks for spending the time with us today.
Gracias, senor. We will talk soon.
De nada, amigo.
Well, what a great interview with Nick. You know, there's so many things that I could talk about in terms of that interview, but what I would rather you do is focus on the one thing that really most struck you. Maybe it was the way that he completely focuses, he and his team's efforts, on lead generation, and in particular, radio, referrals, and Zillow. And if nothing else, if you just took the simple idea of that satisfaction survey at closing and make sure that you called all the nines and tens, I think you're going to end up with a result like Nick's. Just absolutely phenomenal. Do me a favor. Contact the person that gave you this interview. Schedule a time to sit down with them. They've heard the same interview. Have a conversation with them about, if I implemented this thing, what might the results be for my business? And you know what? Hold me accountable to it. Let's do it together. I think you're going to find that your business is going to increase as a direct result of listening to this interview. And then I would listen to it again. Until next month, this is Coach Bill Hart. Make it a great day.